CliffCentral.com.
Yes, indeed. That's the MKT show, Cliff Central Sport, that is happening today at, what is it, 11:30? What time are you going again? 12?
You're live from 12
live
till
from
2.
12.
You can subscribe on YouTube,
you,
Cliff Central
Sport. But I wasn't wrong, because you get there early. You're there from 11.
There is no excuse to be late for anything.
I agree.
You never be late.
Yeah. I'm with you. All right. So there's lots to talk about this morning. We've got plenty of news that we have to catch up on. And one of the stories is this Alec Baldwin story, which is just unbelievable. We spoke about it as it was breaking on Friday morning. He's been filming this Western, and they were busy filming, and the cinematographer and the director apparently were shot by a bullet from a prop gun. Now, they must have each been shot with a separate bullet from the gun. And we don't know any of the details, but maybe it was the same one. Either way, why was a loaded gun being used on a set? And Alec Baldwin is apparently, you know, he's just a basket case, as anyone would be if they'd killed someone accidentally. People are all theorizing at this stage. There are crazy theories going around that someone set Alec Baldwin up. Other people saying that they're treating Alec Baldwin with kid gloves, because when this happened to Dick Cheney and he went on a hunting trip with his friend and shot him in the face, everyone piled onto Dick Cheney. They didn't give it a second thought. But suddenly, because it's Alec Baldwin, you know, and he's an actor and he's much beloved by the Democrats in America. He also did all those brilliant Trump impersonations on Saturday Night Live, that they have a different opinion of this because it's Alec Baldwin. I mean, there are some very funny things coming out, and a lot of people say too soon. But have you seen some of the memes?
No, but it's not too soon.
You don't think it's
happened
too soon?
Now.
I also don't think it's too soon. So let's share some of them. What the hell? This was on Facebook. Marked safe from Alec Baldwin today. How do you like that? Right?
No, come on.
Yeah. I mean, that's what people are putting on. You don't like it? All right. How about
shame
this?
Man.
How about this one? I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody. That didn't age well. Right? Him doing Trump.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
been telling us how bad Trump was.
Yeah.
He's also, by the way, he's a major anti-gun enthusiast, anti-gun activist, you could say, is probably a better term. So Alec Baldwin has been saying for years now, oh, guns are a problem and people are not the problem and it's definitely guns. And so what happened here, Alec, you know, is this...
Well, what happened here, and a lot of prop specialists and Hollywood crew are chiming in on all of this with their opinions. And if you look at the court document, because there's obviously a case has been opened.
Yes.
There were many shortfalls when it came to the prop master. There were many shortfalls when it came to the actual stand or the gun case on the premises. no one is allowed to touch that stand except for the prop master. It seems the prop master wasn't there, and someone else from the crew just grabbed one of three guns that were sitting on the stand and handed that to Alec. And yes, initially there were people saying it was probably blanks, and blanks can cause injuries. However, this was loaded with real bullets.
No.
Another thing is
I'm sorry.
Pointed at
all of this is true, Leanne, but you know, as someone who owns guns and someone who shoots, ultimately you have to be the one who checks, and you never point a loaded gun at anybody. Now,
the actors are not allowed to even open the guns.
But this
They're
is the,
not allowed to tamper with the guns. The prop, it's the prop
I'm
master's
terribly sorry.
Responsibility.
Prop masters be damned. The gun law for any gun owner is you are responsible for that weapon when it's in your hand. Forget anybody else being involved in this.
He's not the gun owner.
He's the one who he pulled the trigger. If you're going to pull the trigger of any weapon, let me tell you something. Even if you're playing with a pellet gun or a toy gun or one of those guns that the kids play with, a Nerf gun, you don't point that at someone's eye if it's loaded. You just don't. Don't make excuses for him.
He had to point it at the camera for the shot. He had to point it at the camera. That's
is what
that the angle was.
Is that why the cinematographers did?
Yes. And and I stand by it. The rules on a movie set are different to rules in real life.
Yeah, well, real life.
He's not supposed to open that gun and check
it. A whole lot of real life suddenly came to the movie set. A whole lot of that just erupted right in front of Alec Baldwin. And as much as it's kind of, if it was completely a mistake, and I have no reason to believe Alec Baldwin wanted to kill someone, which is why he would never be guilty of murder here. He'd be guilty of culpable homicide, manslaughter, as they call it. But nonetheless, I just have to say that, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander here. These people who have major problems with gun activists, and that's not my angle this morning, but they always say, oh, it's your responsibility. Well, it was Alec's responsibility to make sure that this thing was, you don't point a gun at anyone, even a toy gun. So I was taught that at 3. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Was under directorship of other people. He wasn't just doing his own thing.
So what, when you're doing a pretend act, then suddenly you lose all responsibility in the real world? Sorry, doesn't work that way.
I don't know, rules are rules. So
is he going to jail now? What do you think is going to happen with him?
He's going to be charged with culpable homicide, with manslaughter, with second or third degree murder. Depending on what, you know, they decide to prosecute him on. And then but his life is going to be irrevocably changed. This is unfortunately what happens when these kinds of things take place. And I feel terribly sorry for him because he was just an actor trying to do his job. And this is an awful, awful accident. But, you know, the buck stops with you. If you have a gun in your hand, you are ultimately responsible for whatever happens after that gun has been placed in your hands, no matter who the prop master, like who's your prop master in real life, you know, isn't one of those.
No, real life rules don't apply to this. Oh. This comes with its own set of rules.
Really? So what do you think is more important here? Which rules supersede the other rules? The rules of a movie set are more important than the rules of real life, or the rules of real life are more important than the movie set?
The rules of a movie set are what are at play here, and the responsibility lies with those who were entrusted with ensuring that the right gun was given with the right whatever false ammunition in it.
Sorry.
Should they go to jail?
Yes, absolutely. And the actor would have been flouting the rules if he'd have opened it and checked it or fired it in the air to see. He's not allowed to do that.
I'm sorry, I see it exactly the other way around. Like the real world and the rules of the real world obviously should take precedence over the rules of a stupid movie set. And especially when it comes to the law being applied.
If that were true, then so many actors would be in jail right now.
Yes, that wouldn't be a bad thing either.
Or fired because they didn't check the gun first. If they did check the gun, they would have been going against the rules of the set.
Also, I mean, I don't know if people... movie sets are the biggest waste of time in the world, by the way. It is hurry up and wait big time. Can you imagine now the laws that are going to be in place to check every
more
gun?
More and more safety measures, yeah.
For 35 minutes to make sure. Are they going to call it the Alec Baldwin rule? Oh, my God. As though movie sets need another more wasted time sitting there.
No, I think that's a good thing. You can't, you know, there's no way you could be too careful around guns. It's just be more careful. Put more rules in place. I mean, it's like, you know, airport security after 9/11. Now we all just accept that we're going to be scanned and have x-rays of our bollocks. And, you know, people are going to be in seeing what we had for breakfast that morning. That's
how many farts we have on board.
How many farts you got on board. They can see all of that in those scanners now. They can look into your bag and they can see exactly what, you know, sex toys you're taking through the airport. I mean, that's just what we accept now as part of travel. Same goes for these idiots who make pretend stuff and get paid way too much money for pretending, if you ask me. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, somebody brought up something interesting here. Like, whatever happened to the guy who shot Brandon Lee? Because remember, Bruce Lee's son, Brandon Lee, was also killed on set with a weapon. And when Starian Pikachu says, when you see how Keanu Reeves handles his weapons, his instructors are amazed at how he learned to handle weapons. Again, you're like, this is the difference. You can mouth off about gun control, but then when you have no, you don't follow any gun rules yourself, but you expect everyone else to. That's kind of why a lot of people are very angry with Alec Baldwin here, and they're piling on. And it may be an unrelated discussion, because this may have just been a horrible accident. But, you know. So Shani says that Alec was also a producer of this movie. And she kind of agrees. Why have live ammo on the set at all is a good question from Tony. That's a very good
question. But we don't know that yet. No, but you can't. You don't know that. He might have been set up. Like, what kind of question is that? That's got nothing
to do with it. But also, we don't know anything about cinematography. We don't know if live guns are necessary in order to create certain shots. You know, I'm certainly no expert, and I won't comment on that.
Well, another related sort of thing is that, you know, Ruth brings this up. If they ask you at the airport, did you pack your own bag, and you didn't, and they find drugs and things in your bag, you go to jail, even if someone else packed it. So it's down to you in the end. And also, like, what kind of a job is prop master? Is that a real job? Is that a full-time job?
Yes.
I was actually waiting to see how long it would take you to ask that.
You have a business card.
There's another name for it.
Business card with prop master.
There is another name for it if it makes you happy.
Really?
Yes, I can't remember what it is, and that's why I remembered the other term, which stuck in my head better.
Mm.
But no, man, you can't go after
prop
that.
Prop master.
Just because the title.
I just think it's a stupid job. Sorry.
Oh, Gareth.
And here's your witch's broom for later on, Angelina Jolie. You must remember to use your witch's broom that way around and not the other way around, or you'll look very silly, and it will make your genitalia itch. Come on. That's your whole job. Anyway. Movies have ways of doing pretty much any kind of CGI, makeup, etc. You're telling me they have to use real guns for the make-believe thing? Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you why they have to use the make-believe guns. If you look at the it was told by some told to me on Friday. So the guns still need to have that explosion effect. So they are still loaded with blanks to give that effect. CGI, they haven't figured out how to do that yet. I also asked that question, and somebody who has worked on sets informed me that there's a reason
why. Was he a
prop master?
If so, Gareth wants to have lunch with him today.
Yeah, because I'm so respectful of the prop masters on a set. Ian brings up, like, imagine in a porno movie what the prop master has to deal with.
well, there it's more the interesting job on those, or the fluffers, right?
Yeah, but imagine you're the prop master on a porno. You're like, oh, we need more lube here. We need more lube here.
Yeah.
Bring us some of that.
Brings a new meaning to firing blanks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it'd be excellent at being a prop master on porn sets is the people that stand at the supermarket entrances. Have you seen they've gotten brilliant at excuse me.
Sanitizer.
To spray your hands like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'd be brilliant at it.
Just by since you brought that up, and we haven't really talked COVID for a long time, and it's a relief. Trust me, I'm not in a hurry to talk about COVID again. But do you always let them put the stuff on your hands at the entrance? I know Leanne does because she's very compliant.
I don't even think about COVID anymore when they're spraying me. I think about the fact that I feel clean and I'm not going to pick up other people's germs, whether they're COVID or not.
That stuff really dries your hands out. Sure. But I mean, you know, your hands, eventually you come out of there looking like a mummy. Really? Do you moisturize as soon as you've got out of the shop? Bulelo, what do you think of this?
When I come home, I always wash my hands. Never, even before COVID, I wash my hands after the shop, and then yes, I will moisturize.
Mm.
For me, I've played off the opportunity cost here. Is I've just gotten in too many arguments, and it's just like 30 seconds I'll never get back of. Oh, but I just sanitized over there. So now I'm just spray my hands so I can get out of here. You know, the time wasting is too much for me.
Yeah, I forgot to wear my mask. Sorry, it broke up for me there, but I forgot to wear my mask the other day, and I'd actually got as far as paying for my purchase.
Oh, wow.
And swiping my card. And then Bulelo, there were no Woolworths accents, but the tellers were speaking to each other in Vernac, and I couldn't understand what they were saying. And they were refusing to take my card, and I was like, what's going on? And she said, no, you're not wearing a mask. I was so shocked.
But you'd already made it.
Sorry, I forgot.
But you made it through everything. You bought your stuff.
Yeah, I'd already made it through past security guards, through everything.
Well, there's a little garage up the road from me, which I like going to now because they don't care. You can come in without a mask. So I don't know if I'm getting them into trouble or not, but they don't care. Here's a good point.
I've seen that.
This is a really good point, and this is something that happens to me too. Jared says, it gets irritating when they tell me to sanitize after I've just come from another store where I sanitized upon exiting. So at the shop, I do my grocery
shop. It's such a small thing though, guys.
I know. But at the shop
that's what I just said. Opportunity cost.
So they spray the trolley, the handle of the trolley, right? But it's like a swamp on that trolley handle because they've sprayed. It feels sticky and it's wet. It's like, you know, it's been standing outside in the rain. So you've already got that on your hands, and then they want to spray your hands again at the door. And it's like a religious ritual. So people from overseas who come here, they don't do that in other places, apparently. It's just here we've got the sanitizer.
No, I mean, Mbulelo, you would have seen the Grand Prix in America this weekend. And the crowds were fuller than they've ever been, and hardly anyone was wearing a mask. Because the rest of the world was quite shocked, judging from their comments, from the photographs and the film. They were like, oh my gosh, does America not do this at all anymore?
So my sister lives in Cote d'Ivoire, and she came down. She's obviously here, and she didn't have a mask at all. She forgot her mask. I was like, because she had to get in an Uber. She phones me, do you need a mask? Like, I need a mask. I'm like, what do you mean? No, she says, Cote d'Ivoire, forget that.
They don't care.
Wearing a mask.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Everyone's vaccinated as well. Get up. So it's interesting.
Dogoza says, I went to the hood over the weekend and masks are not mandatory there. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. Hadmin says, I let them spray that shit on my hands. Hang on. And then I wipe it off on my pants in front of them. Never been called out. I don't know why they use that cheap shit. Yeah, see? Ian says, it's a change from when I'm eating pup and gravy and wiping the excess on my pants, I suppose.
Yeah, fair enough.
Ew.
Carl says, you know what grates my nipples? Is when they test my temperature with a C-grade thermometer and it's 33 degrees and the guy lets me in with hypothermia.
I have thought that.
It is like, amazing. Like,
it's such an excellent point.
The guys, they take your temperature, right, and then they show you. It's up to you whether you're happy or not with your temperature. They're like, well, what do you think? Because I don't think anyone sat them down and said, do you know what the human body temperature is meant to be? Because they don't.
Yeah, I always forget. I always look at other people on the form.
Yeah.
Because that's when they generally show you, is when you need to fill it in on a form. But I always look at other people on the form and then I'm like, okay, I must be fine. I'm kind of in the middle.
No. And then sometimes the battery's low on that thing too. So they don't get an accurate reading. And then they have to like push it right up against your head and you wonder what else it's been pushed up against. Anyway. All right. Lots of more interesting things. This has got to be one of the funniest things I saw over the weekend. So this is a reporter. She's standing in the middle of a whole bunch of turkeys. And listen to what happens here. This is just terrific.
A shortage of poultry.
She's busy. Let me explain.
I love it.
Let me explain for people who are only listening and not watching. So this woman is standing in the middle of like a huge flock of turkeys. And she goes, well, the problem with poultry. And she goes, ha ha. And then all the turkeys start laughing with her.
Because one of them bit her on the ass.
Yes, exactly.
And then with turkeys, you can do that. You can stand in front of a whole field of them and just go, and then they'll go the same. It's hilarious.
It's great.
That's awesome.
All right. We've got Collectomania coming up in a short while, but Leanne has found some really terrifying creatures that she wants to share with us today. So can I put these pictures up and you help us to understand what's going on here?
It was from last week, but I'll have a quick look and just see if I still have
put this up. So what is a whale rat? Is this an actual thing, or is this some fantasy creature?
This is what biologists are predicting.
Oh.
Well, this is what biologists say in the future. This is what sort of animals will be around.
Okay. So they think there'll be a whale rat?
So if evolution continues as it is, they're saying there'll be a fully aquatic whale rat. So it'll obviously come from – you always love these weird animals.
I love these animals, yeah.
But they'll come from a rat that has evolved – and we know that rats will live forever, like cockroaches, right?
Yeah.
They're extremely durable.
So what do they say about this? This thing's going to have flippers in the front.
It'll have like an eel-like tail, flippers in the front, rat feet.
Right.
And the tail's quite flat. It's almost like a beaver's tail, but in a perpendicular at a perpendicular angle. And these rats will live under the sea and eat certain creatures,
like
bottom feeders.
This is another one that they said, gigantic mantis, the size of a cocker spaniel, which will hunt cockroaches the size of Pomeranians. Can you imagine how terrifying that is? I mean, I know people who are very frightened of insects, right? But once the insects get so big that they're the size of a cocker spaniel, you're going to have people running down the street, screaming, being chased by a cocker spaniel-sized mantis.
Totally. I'll definitely be one of those. But again, this speaks to the fact that cockroaches are predicted to live forever, and they may evolve to become even bigger.
Yes.
And so their prey, I mean, their predators have to become even bigger as they prey on them.
It's amazing.
So that's what they're predicting there.
What is this one? This is a carnivorous pigeon. Now, that's terrifying because everybody has pigeons around them. Whether you live in cities or in the country, you've got pigeons around, right? And these pigeons are predicted to become very powerful, much bigger. They've got legs like an ostrich and a curved beak like an eagle.
So to me, they look like dodos, don't they?
Very scary dodos, because dodos look kind of dumb and flightless, but these things will be able to fly.
Harmless.
A carnivorous pigeon.
No, they're saying that these will be flightless as well.
Oh.
And they'll just peck on any
children,
fleshy
small
items
babies.
Near them. Yeah.
Peck the eyes out of a small sleeping child.
So we've got a lot to look forward to. You know, I'm so glad that I'm going to live another 200 years.
Well, this is it. I mean, the best news about this is it will take a couple of thousand years for us to get, or even a couple of hundred.
Maybe millions. Yeah, you know, hundreds of thousands to maybe a couple of million.
Before any of these species develop.
A lazy bastard. Yep.
But, you know, we always look backwards and we say, well, what kinds of creatures existed before? But now we're looking forward to say, well, what's evolution going to create next? And I don't like the look of any of these things, I've got to tell you. Not good.
Yeah.
My bird phobia, says Jean, has just peaked. And a lot of people are agreeing with you. Matthew says the gigantic mantis should be called a gigantus.
Yes. Yeah. Great naming.
And this is what we're going to, male rat and female whale, or the other way around, says Lee. Lee King Snatch. Lee King,
it's not King like dogs where the Pomeranian mates with a poodle.
Yeah.
No, it would have to be a whale female.
Yeah.
It would have to be a whale female. I mean, evolution doesn't work that way, but either way, is how the hell is a rat going to house a whale? You know, there's a gestation period. That's an awkward
that's
little
true.
Thing. So it would have to be a female whale
in
order to give us
this magnificent creature. This is going to be slow evolution.
I know. I said evolution doesn't work that way. I did say that. I did preface my statement by saying that.
All right.
But in this hype.
And then I do have a collectomania story ahead of collectomania.
All right. Well, let's do that, and then we'll get to Penny Stein. I'm very excited to speak to her about her collection. That's coming up next. What do you got for us in collectomania, Leanne?
So a guy in the UK who collects coins, special coins, and this we know very well from this coin shop and how much these coins can be valued at. He used a 100-pound coin to buy fuel at Tesco.
Tesco. Right.
Tesco. And he used this commemorative coin to buy fuel. He was arrested because the staff said that this wasn't real money and they didn't accept it.
Really?
And he was interrogated at a police station. However, it was found that this Trafalgar Square special edition, 45,000 of them were minted in 2016. They are legal tender under a 1971 act. So he actually sued the cops and said, I'm sorry, you've wrongfully accused me. You've interrogated me. I was filling my car with 60 pounds of diesel. I gave a 100 pound coin. And the cops later released him and sent a letter saying that he wouldn't be charged, but he wouldn't take that. So he took action and he's received £5,000 from this action suit.
Wow.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So he got a hundred. So apparently, he had a 100 pound coin, which first of all I didn't know existed, and then he's now got £5,000 as a result of the injustice of these people not accepting his legal tender. Hilarious.
Exactly. He says he's now going to spend the money on more coins, but apparently Morrison's, Asda, and Sainsbury's in the UK do take these coins, but Tesco have always been difficult.
All right.
You've got to
make sure if you're the shop that you know that that stuff is legal tender. Collectomania is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can check them out at scoinshop.com. And remember, if you're a collector of anything unusual or interesting, and maybe you know someone who's a collector like that, then you can tell us. Get hold of us on contact@cliffcentral.com so we can feature you or them on Collectomania. Well, welcome to the show this morning. An old friend of mine who really is just one of the most extraordinary people, and she's always fun to have on the show, but this time we have a really good excuse to talk to Penny Stein. How are you, Pen?
Hi, good morning. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm very, very well. It's so nice to see you looking very glamorous in those glasses.
Thank you. Thank you. Hope the light's all right.
No, you look terrific.
A sparkle, I was told. Okay, if I need to take them off, just tell me.
No, look,
but
perfect.
I was, you know, I got strict instructions, no noise. And as you were talking about those weird creatures, have you seen the size of Hardy dolls nowadays?
I mean,
I can't tell you how many have just flown past. Have you seen the size of them?
I think there'll be a time where they'll start eating us.
Let me tell you, they take on my dogs, and my dogs are not tiny. They're huge. Anyway, good morning. Lovely to chat about it's an unusual collection, actually.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I think of collections, and most people do, you think of a material collection.
Yes.
So I'm a teacup junkie. I'm a tea addict.
Right.
I'm a teapot junkie. Tea has to be served in the right way. There's a whole ritual. So we won't talk tea and teacups and teapots today. But I think it's worth getting a couple of tea fanatics and collectors on.
I would love to
share tea leaves.
I would love to know about
how to make a good. Do that.
All right.
Because I can tell you there are a lot of us.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll get back to your tea collection. But this morning, I mean, you've been in the music and entertainment industry for a long time. You were the person in South Africa who would look after all these big stars when they came to South Africa. And we've had you on. You told a hilarious story on the show once about Luther Vandross and how he pushed you into a pool, which people still...
Oh, that's one of many. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people still can't believe that. But you have some amazing stories, Penny. And this morning, I want you to share your stories about all the people that you've met and the photographs that you've got.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to swing my camera around.
Okay.
I'm not a techno, so please excuse my, should I, hold on, no, let's hang on. Have a look here. Camera, I can go back camera.
Yeah, let's see if we can get
this
right.
Hold on, guys. I'm with you. Just give me a second.
Right.
I'm going to get it right. Hold on.
Okay.
Just give me a second. Let me go back. Settings. Oh, dear. Let's go. Camera settings. I know this is valuable.
No, we got
time.
It. There we go.
Okay.
We got it.
Now
all
you
right.
can, got
now
it.
Can see.
Okay,
yeah.
So I got it. Okay.
All right.
So this is just, you need to understand that I come from a generation where digital didn't exist.
Correct.
We had photographers who took pictures, just like people took pictures with their Instamatics, Rancher, Kodak, saw, got your hard print.
Yes.
So I think I'm sitting with about 50 or 60,000 heartprint pictures of celebrities, people at concerts, lives, you know, holidays, whatever. Of course, then we moved into what was the start of the digital era.
Yeah.
But there was no such thing as instant. You know, photographer took the picture, had to go and print it. You know, it was a big story. And, you know, young people don't understand that. When you say a tranny, they have no idea of what you're talking about.
They think
so. Some of them are, they don't. They don't understand what a fax machine is either. So I'm going to educate a whole lot of you here because these are hard prints of pictures that come from many, many years ago. So let's hit it.
All right, show us.
Okay, so this is just, okay, so the
There's a whole gallery of these. My God.
Yeah, so these are just a few of about 60 or 70,000. I don't know how much time we've got, so let's hit it.
All right, Michael Jackson.
Let's go from here. Michael Jackson, toured with him. I'm going to share a few stories, but I'm going to whip you through quickly. Michael Jackson, Shakira, Tina Turner, Randy Crawford.
Mick, is that Mick
Zuma
Jagger?
And FIFA. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mick Jagger's coming. Don't stop cheating. There he is. Okay, there you go.
All right.
Lyra.
Yeah.
Kool and the Gang. A lot of them have passed away. Black Eyed Peas. Sorry, I'm trying the best with the lighting. Bocelli. Bocelli. Meatloaf. Meatloaf.
Wow.
Janet Jackson. Bocelli. Enrique. Check at this picture. I'm sorry you're getting a lot of that. That was me at 18 years with Elton John backstage at Sun City in his dressing room.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so sorry it's faded.
Sure.
But we're talking memories here. I was wearing a little frock. Little frock with a pink bow. Me at 18 in a pink frock with Elton John with a little bow. It's there. So if you can see, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 autographs.
Yes.
I've toured with Elton John 5 times. So this was the very beginning, and we're going to move down a bit further. Okay. Annie Lennox, Alicia Keys, Jackson, Brian Adams, Luther Vandross. Okay, let's move now. Now I'm moving across. Upside down, Tina Turner in... Tina Turner, she's upside
down.
That's
amazing. Yeah, I got it.
Down.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so there's Tina and myself. There's Simply Red, Mick Hucknall behind.
Okay. Yeah.
Here is, do you remember Peter Gallagher from The Idol? He's now a famous actor, of course. Okay. Mm-hmm. Betty Wright, Al Jarreau. I'm going to tell you a story right now about that lovely man who sadly has passed away. It's Jacaranda season now.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had the privilege in my life to look after him, an extraordinary man. And I mean, I was with him every day, all day, drove him, shopped with him, did everything with him. And you know that exquisite sound when you drive over wet jacarandas?
Yeah.
And they go pop, pop, pop.
Yes.
And he started scatting. I had Al Jarreau in my car scatting to the jacarandas popping, the wet jacarandas. I mean, that is wow. Okay.
Wow.
And it reminds me every year of this time, driving down that glorious road, that infamous road in Saxon World, where all the jacaranda trees are. Yeah. Okay, so there he is. And I can't remember they were in Dallas at the top there. Okay, the Landis sisters. Do you remember them?
No. Wow.
Dallas? They were in Dallas. Okay, James Blunt. Da, 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 da.
Gloria Estefan, right.
Okay, yeah.
Who's
Michael
that?
Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Okay. What did he say there for you? Penny, give.
He said, girl. Penny girl, thank you for everything.
Oh, wow.
And listen, he did sign this.
Yeah.
So I also have to make it clear to you and your listeners is that these are not pictures from me hanging at backstage doors or hotel foyers. Okay. This is, I've toured with him. All right.
Right.
And worked with him. Okay. Diana Ross.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Fabulous. Okay.
Amazing.
Buble at the top there.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites, Celine Dion. All right. Mm.
Yes.
Supertramp.
Supertramp.
You won't know, John.
Yeah.
Really well.
I remember Supertramp.
Okay. Yeah. Supertramp. Then we're going to Bread. All right, let's move it. Pink. Alanis Morissette. Josh Groban. Usher, ZZ Top, my man, Billy Gibbons.
Lenny Kravitz.
Brian Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Lenny. Janet Jackson, the one and only Brenda Farsi.
Oh, nice.
Pink, Celine Dion. Okay. Not Michael Hutchins. Paris Hilton. Quick story. It's actually a fun. Yeah. So it's a fun story. It's actually not about them. It's more about me. But I do have some fabulous, very embarrassing moments in my career, which very few get to hear. But this one is Paris came out with, she was dating one of the guys from Good Charlotte on the Coke Fest.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been a publicist all my life, but I've been a publicist. Nobody ever thinks that I would break the rules, but I'm a big rule breaker, just by the way. I just don't look it.
So tell me what happened.
So very quickly, a colleague media friend of mine said, oh, she's so fussy. She won't have pictures taken. Daughter. I said, just give me your video camera. He was working for a news agency and we were at the Coke Fest. And I said, just give it to me. I'm going inside. Here I'm getting her to autograph things, which she wasn't that happy to do for me. But he gave me his camera. I went to the loo very quickly, put it on the floor, came out. He has video footage of me peeing backstage instead of Paris Hilton.
Oh, my God.
It was on. He left it on. I never even realized. Jason von Berg, he's now in Dubai, and it's one of his... And that was the video footage.
Oh, that's great.
Jane Seymour.
Yes.
Lovely Jane Seymour. She taught me about hair extensions.
Huh.
Lovely Henri Iglesias, super sexy, super fabulous.
Yes.
Krista Berg, Lady in Red.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at the very top, look how faded, Barry Manilow at Sun City at the top there. Can you see him? Yeah.
That's incredible.
Can you see?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there's Tina.
Now, Tina Turner, okay, I just want to stop on Tina for a second. You told me Tina Turner is the most fantastic woman, and she's got just a heart of gold. She's one of the sweetest people you've ever met.
Absolutely. So I think she's that kind of person when she likes you. She's just cool. So I mean, what can you say about her? She's extraordinary, bigger than life, so talented. Oh, my God, her wardrobe. She actually gave me her Dolce & Gabbana jacket as a gift because I said – oh, that's such a cool jacket. And, of course, you know, you never think anyone's – I didn't want it. I just said, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Then she said, go and play in my wardrobe. So I went to play in her wardrobe at Sun City. And, but I do have a lovely quick story about her.
Yeah.
Is her stylist called me, and I'm talking many, many years ago, and this was the kind of job you had to do, is that she wanted grapefruit juice with no sugar.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, in those days, the artists asked for cranberry juice. And it was not easy to find, I might add.
Mm.
But I can tell you, I had to drive to Sun City at 8 at night with grapefruit juice with no sugar in it. Not easy to find. Okay. Mm. Now we're going to rock a little bit. We've got all the Coke Fest guys, Good Charlotte, there's Usher at the top. We've got Jared Leto, who is just so extraordinarily hot, so very hot. Mary J. Blige, oh my goodness, unbelievable. Again, Celine Dion. All right, here we go. You two, Diana Ross, Janet Jackson, Mick Jagger, Bono.
I've got to reiterate that these are not digital versions of photographs. These are the actual pictures that were taken by the photographers at these things, and very often are signed and were given to you as a present.
Well, because I employed them in my work, they gave me all the discs, the trannies, I've got everything.
Explain by trannies, you don't mean transgender people, right? Just explain what that is.
No, that's not trans grannies. It's trannies. Okay. It's a film that gets cut up and it's a trainee, and you take it to the Photoshop, and they make a picture of it.
Right, they develop
okay.
it.
They so you can see
they develop the photos.
Yeah. Sorry?
No. I was just saying it's a very old school thing. Oh. They develop the photos.
They did develop the photos. Okay.
There's Madiba.
I wish sometimes we could go back to the old time. There's Madiba, visited many, many times. There he is with Janet Jackson. There he is with Pavarotti, Domingo, Carreras. There I am with him at El Giro. There I am backstage. Many people have passed in that picture, sadly. And in that picture, Diana Ross with him. So in actual fact, this is a terribly sad picture. All three have passed at the top there. All three have passed. These are amazing memories. Look how hot this boy is.
Who's
He's
that?
Hot. Okay. That's Jared Leto.
Oh, right.
All of these rock guys. So I'm going to have to call down here. Elton John is... There he is. He's giving me a kiss. I don't know if you
can. Wow, I can see that, yeah.
But very unusual because...
Scandalous.
He turned around. You know, he was going on stage. He saw me. He'd seen me often. And he walked back to me to kiss me. remember that, I mean, they get to see me a lot on tours. So anyway, and I got a nice big kiss. And let's move on here. Okay, so now we're gone to one of my favorites of all time. The only time I've ever really been a fan. There's my Lionel.
Lionel Richie.
And he wrote there, Just Kiss Me. And then he says, I was thinking Just Kiss Me. I most probably was.
Mm.
And then he wrote, You're Wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then he wrote on this picture, So Sexy, Lovely You So Much, Let's Do It Again All Night Long.
Ooh.
So there's my Lionel. Oh. Yeah, very suggestive.
Nice.
Very, very suggestive. But I'll take it. I'll take it.
Sure. Yeah.
There he is with Mandela. Okay, she.
Who is that?
Is for me. That's Christina Aguilera.
Right.
I have some pics around of her. Oh, talent. Talent, talent, talent. Powerhouse. Powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These pics here were taken. Also, if I can just mention a couple of, some of the best South African photographers who've been on the road with me, not only in the media houses, but independent photographers who are award-winning photographers nowadays, who are some sadly have passed. Mm-hmm. But these are a collective. A lot of them are collectibles. Okay, let's go into, there's a whole lot of community work, Gloria. You know, there's a lot of rock stuff. I'm just looking as I go down, there's a lot of community work. This is Diana Ross's daughter, took her to the African Children's Feeding Scheme. This is Deborah Cox. Then we go on to, and it's just, yeah.
Listen, Pen.
I'm going
to stop you because it's almost too much for the eyes.
Wow.
So we go back to you. We want to see you on the camera again. I got to ask you a few things.
Okay, so let's just put me on.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hit it.
There we go.
Okay, let's go. There we go. All camera. Right. I'm so proud that I worked this out.
So a lot of people are saying, and Michael says here, it's hard to top this collection if you love music. It's just unbelievable. And Michael says he once worked for one of the big magazines, and he used to work with you, and you're an absolute pleasure to work with, he says. Some people are asking, the big question, Tracy says, if your house was on fire, which five photos would you save?
Oh, no.
If you had to
choose. You know what? My family picks.
Really? You wouldn't even save the celebrities?
Yeah.
Okay. No. Well, there we go.
Definitely not.
This is a fantastic...
I would have
put
the Elton John one and the Lionel Richie one.
Well, I think, they're not just pictures. It actually was a moment... And many moments in my life, these were not just, these are real stories, real life stories where, There is a story around it. It wasn't just a picture. It was a moment. It was a place. It was a conversation. It was a feeling. It was so much more than just a picture. That's why, you know, pics are treasured. And I don't know what I'm going to do with the other 60,000. In fact, what I'm thinking is I need to start some kind of a download on Instagram where people can look at them. But you most probably are in the picture because I have got thousands of concerts of pics of crowds and fans and people who've been called up on stage and coming into the entrances. And the chances are you most probably middle-aged now, and you can show it to your children. So I've just got to find some fabulous techno bath to say, let's hit it. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands,
but Penny, you've also,
of people.
Like you said, some of those pictures are a bit faded. You showed us the one Elton John picture.
Yeah.
You know, some of these things need to be saved digitally so that there is a version of them that's not going to age, you know?
No, I so agree with you. But, you know, I think it's – truthfully, I'm a little blasé and about it because I think when you get to my age – actually, a lot of it lives in your heart and your head now.
Right.
It doesn't live in the picture. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of aging. I don't need to be reminded of that picture. Actually, I remember that moment. And that's really what an extraordinary career I've had, you know.
This is what's so interesting. And I think a lot of people would rather have a story. Like you've got some stories with all these people, you know, the Lionel Richies and the Elton Johns and the Celine Dions and Tina Turner giving you that jacket. The stories are almost better than the pictures, right? But the pictures kind of remind you of what you went through and what you've learned and the people you've met.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they're funny. And I can tell you, I can laugh at myself so much in them because I have had so many damn awful moments. And I've had, this picture here, and I'm just going to quickly, that picture of Tina Turner and I that was lopsided.
Yes.
That was at the Ritz-Carlton in Paris. Okay.
Wow.
So there's a fabulous, it was extraordinary. But what did I know? I went to this shop across the way. What's that beautiful French store called? I went and bought a fake hairpiece because I thought I'd like look better. So I bought this fake hairpiece. Can you hear me?
Yes.
And I stuck this fake hairpiece on me. And I actually didn't know how to put it on me. But I clipped it in, and my whole interaction with her, it was loose. And I was terrified that this piece of hair is going to fall out. And, you know, I started sweating so badly that it actually stuck to the back of my back. And these are moments. These are real moments. And jeez, I was in Paris. I was in Paris.
It's amazing. Penny, I mean, you could, you have to find a team of people who are dedicated to your cause, who are passionate about what you do just as much as you are, to now bring together and hire a marketing team, a digital team, writers, content editors to put together your story in so many different formats. You need to have these photographs digitalized and you need to have them, some of them reproduced. There's so much to do with what you've done.
Yeah, these stories.
Well, there is. And, you know, this is history because are we going to see 120,000 people in a stadium ever again?
I don't think so.
I ask you, are we going to see 20? Yeah. Are artists going to come here? You know, there's another whole question with vaccinations. Are artists, you know, what is their criteria now? Yeah. You know, do we have to be 50%? I mean, I'm just throwing this all out there.
Yeah.
This just might be a moment, a history in time for all of us that may or may never happen ever again.
Well, certainly, I mean,
that scenario.
As you said, some of those artists aren't even alive anymore. And so many of them
that's
you can cool. You can never, like, Al Jarreau is never going to be back in South Africa to perform again, you know. This is the sad thing. But you got to see him, you got to introduce him to Nelson Mandela, you got to watch his concert live, you got him to, like, scat along to the sound of the jacarandas under your car tires. Those stories are priceless. And it seems like what Leanne is saying here too is, it's almost, it would be wrong of you to not share these stories in some way. And that's why I'm glad you're on this morning, because it might be the start of a bigger and better way to share things. Michael
says,
it's
to do it for you and to do it for the pleasure of so many other people. Never seen before photographs and angles and just the memoirs. And your idea about having these photographs of people in the crowd at these concerts, you know, to start a campaign where people tag themselves or their friends. Oh, it's just mind-blowingly engaging.
It is. And there is so much.
Tell me, are there any people who refused to take a photograph? Were there any situations where you were with someone terribly famous and they didn't want to do a picture?
Yeah. But only if we did it from a particular side. I'll tell you, and it had to be done from sort of a certain angle. I think I almost got fired from one of the tours because one of the artists, she was on the front page of the Star newspaper, photographer, and in her view, it was a really bad picture. And of course, I got the blame for it, which is always
tell us who it was?
My job. No, I don't think I will. But she played in a small venue to a small crowd. That's all I can say.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm surprised then that you won't just let us in on this one, because I'm sure she doesn't know.
Maybe I will. You know, you can't say anything nowadays. What can I say? You just got to be, you know. Randy Crawford, I'm looking at here. You know, she took her shoes off. She didn't sing with her shoes on.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many people will remember, I'm sure, as I'm talking to you, and I know we're running out of time. As I'm talking to you, people who are my generation and younger will, you know, I might have just said, and they say, I remember seeing her. She took her shoes off.
I had an interview.
She lay on the floor.
Listen, I had an interview with Randy Crawford on my show. I was still on 702 at the time, and she was either drunk or high or both. She made no sense whatsoever for that interview, and I eventually had to cut Randy Crawford off. I had to say to her, I'm sorry, you're making no sense. We can't talk to you anymore. This is a famous singer, you know. One day I'll fly away, and Almaz, and all those great songs. Anyway, she was a lunatic.
She was a proper lunatic. Yeah. No, but you know what? I think, in fairness to everybody in this industry, and I've been in it for a very long time, it can make you a bit nuts. It can. It can make you and everybody else a bit nuts. It really can. I mean, you know, people are human beings. You know, we forget that. People have family tragedies. People have sadnesses. People have grief. People have pain. I mean, you know, they're not buttons you can switch on.
Right.
It's just, and I think post-COVID now, I think switching on buttons is even harder than it's, because we're also out of practice.
Absolutely.
Of it. It just doesn't come so naturally.
But I do want to say for you, because I've known you a long time, I've always marveled at the stories that you have and the people you've met and the places you've been. But that really was a golden age in some ways, because concert promoters brought big ticket item people here, and people were prepared to shell out money for it, and it was done in a glamorous and sophisticated way, and you know, it was a real show. It was a spiel. It wasn't just, you know, oh, this person's pitching up and they're going to be at this bar for 15
minutes.
It was a big deal.
Well, you know what, Gareth, in this generation we're talking about, you didn't go to a concert in a tracksuit.
No,
you know
what I'm saying? People would dress up.
You dress up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You didn't go to a concert in shorts unless it was the Soul Invasion with all the R&B acts, and we were in Durban and it was like 48 degrees. Well, the music was 190 degrees, you know, because it was so sensual and so hot and so beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's just, it was an event. Think of what Hazel Feldman did.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, she really, she set the trend.
She was
phenomenal. She started it at Sun City, you know. And, I mean, it was an event. It was, we drove there. We dressed up. We bought our tickets. You went for dinner. You know, you parked. It was an event.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a huge event going to the FNB Stadium. It's a nightmare, but it's a huge event. So sad the Dome has closed down. Look at our lives. Look at what the Dome represents to all of us in so many different ways, you know. I mean, there are thousands of artists that have come here. And so many amazing ones. And so many talented
ones. Because you met so many of these people, did you have to... And people, they wanted eventually to have Penny Stein be the wrangler for these famous people because you were very at ease around these people. I mean, some of them are huge, huge stars, but you treated them all the same. And I think people knew that you could be trusted to make it as comfortable and as easy for them as possible, these stars. Were you ever completely head over heels fangirling and unable to contain yourself?
So funny you say that. You would never know it.
So you kept a professional always.
Well, I think the only time that I needed a paramedic ever in my whole career was when Lionel Richie sang Penny Lover to me.
Ooh.
Yeah. And he sang Penny Lover to me. And he went, and this is for you. And he like, mwah, and he gave me the kiss.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my God. I can't breathe. I'm sweating. My hair is stuck to my head. I can't breathe. How do I? And, of course, the photographers are all taking pictures now because I'm Penny and Lionel's singing Penny to me. And they're trying to capture the moment for me because they're my friends too. And I'm like totally, and I don't really know how to respond because I'm human too. And, it's like I'm human, you know, and I think that was the only time. The very first time I met Mandela, I was totally in awe, but because I did it a lot and I never took it for granted, it was mind blowing.
Yeah.
There were a lot, you know, I've been with COVID, I've been watching a huge amount of music videos, listening to a huge amount of music, kind of trying to get some cheer and joy back. Because, I mean, I think we've
everybody's
all been
really tough
so
time.
Badly
sure.
in cheer and joy. And, you know, I listen to a lot of, and you're an expert on this, and these voice competitions I've been watching, you know, talent competitions I've been watching. And I just found for the first time in my life over the last 2 years, I've actually had the time to sit and watch an artist sing.
Yeah.
Facial, vocal,
isn't it
voice,
amazing?
Body language.
Like, and this is what,
I've never seen it before.
But this is what's so great about living now. And I keep telling people we've got to be grateful for things that we now take for granted. Things like YouTube, where you can go on there and you can watch a concert from any time where they recorded them. From the 40s, 50s, 60s, right up to yesterday. And you can see these things in HD on your TV at home. I mean,
unbelievable.
Those experiences are available to you at the touch of a button. And we don't realize how lucky we are. Anyway,
I know you have to go.
Yeah.
I know you have to go. But I do think that there is nothing like up close and personal.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, you can't beat it.
In that moment. Music is about in that moment. It's in that moment. Gareth, it's been gorgeous. Lovely.
Thank you, Penny.
Thank
you. And what an incredible collection. So Penny Stein at the helm of Penny Stein Promotions for more than 30 years. They promoted 1,800 concerts for the world's leading artists, including the Rolling Stones, Bon Jovi, Tina Turner, Pavarotti, Michael Jackson, the three tenors, Usher, Beyonce, John Legend, Elton John, Neil Diamond, and hundreds of other acts. And Penny has an incredible collection of photos, which she shared with us today. Thank you so much. This is really cool. I appreciate your time.
It was awesome. Wow. Really cool.
Thanks, Penny.
Be safe.
Cool.
Cheers.
Be good.
Bye.
And there she is. Wow. What a story, huh? Collectomania. I know. Isn't that amazing?
I need a nap after that. It was so much for my brain.
It's so great. Collectomania is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. You can check them out at scoinshop.com. And remember, you can also message us with your own collections. We want to hear about that. Gareth at cliffcentral.com or contact at cliffcentral.com. And we want to know about your collection too. Thanks for joining us this morning. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have a great day. Cheers.
Cliffcentral.com.